Seeking Jesus is what we are presented with in this morning's gospel. But this whole idea of seeking Jesus is not just an insight into just one of the glimpses that we get into Jesus' life between his nativity and his adult ministry, but it also portends something that is at the very heart of each and every one of us, our journey into the faith and seeking Christ. Even as Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, as he said, if you remember from Luke chapter 19, as he visited the home of Zacchaeus, seeking Jesus. This, following the epiphany of our Lord that was celebrated here with Deacon Stephen on Friday evening, within the octave of the epiphany, we are presented with the gospel from the second chapter of St. Luke, and which also forms part of the joyful mysteries that those of us within the Western Rite of Orthodoxy in our prayer piety practice as a part of the rosary. So it closes out the five joyful mysteries. The first being the Annunciation. The second joyful mystery being the visitation between Elizabeth and Mary. The third being the Nativity of our Lord, which we just celebrated. The fourth being the presentation of the Lord in the temple on the eighth day last week. And this, the fifth joyful mystery, finding Jesus. Finding Jesus in the temple. But you see, the fact is that Jesus was not lost. God is never lost, but rather it is Jesus who is about doing his Father's business. It is Jesus who manifests himself as to us, to the world, which is lost, which is darkened with sin. But we nonetheless consider this very precious and I might add, this pericope of scripture, which is really packed full of symbolism, if you really begin to break it down. First, Jesus at 12 years old, just prior to what would have been his, in modern parlance, his bar mitzvah at age 13. So he's still, in the eyes of the Jews, he's still a child at the age of 12. And he goes with his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, who are his earthly parents. Every year they're faithful and going to the great feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, where they will offer sacrifices. And oftentimes, as I've indicated, whole extended families, sometimes even whole villages, will travel together in large caravans in traveling to Jerusalem and offering their sacrifices at the Temple Mount. And when they had finished their obligations, their holy obligations and their sacrifices, and the Passover was completed, they began to head back to Nazareth. But they were a full day's journey when they realized Jesus wasn't in their company. He was nowhere to be found. And I think for any parent, it is perhaps the most distressful thing to think that you've lost a child. I know that I've said it before, our son Eric, when he was like 2 years old, decided to play hide and seek in a department store with Pam, and she in a panic had to get security to close off the doors until they could find him, and his giggling gave him up. I remember my brother Wes had gone when we were young at the old parsonage on Church Street here in Thurmont when my dad was a Methodist pastor there, went over to the church, was in the nursery, fell asleep, and then when it was dinner time, he was nowhere to be found. It was one of the few times my dad, in calling the police and panicking about whether he was abducted or not. One of the few times I remember my dad weeping when I was a child. It's distressful. And we can only imagine what Mary and Joseph, the distress that they were going through as parents. And so they returned to Jerusalem and they searched. And after 3 days, they found him. They found him in the temple. And the church fathers tell us that the 3 days without Christ portends his burial, death and burial, just prior to his resurrection. But the other thing that is significant in this is that Mary says, your father and I have been searching for you. Joseph is given the title of father. He is an adoptive father. He is not the biological father of Jesus. Jesus is eternally generated from God the Father. And he receives his human lineage through the maternal line, through his mother. But Joseph is given the honorary title of father by adoption. And it points to our adoption. Our adoption as children in God's kingdom. But the other significant thing in Jesus saying to his parents, I must be about my father's business. Of course, they didn't understand. Joseph was probably thinking, there's no carpentry going on here. That's my business. I'm a carpenter. And Jesus saying, I must be about my father's business, was indicating his call to be exactly where he needed to be, the great high priest. The great high priest in the temple. And here it was following Passover with literally hundreds of thousands of animals being sacrificed, bulls and heifers and goats being slaughtered, and the blood being placed at the altar inside the Holy of Holies by the great high priest. In fact, there's extra biblical scholarship and accounts that are out there that during the time of Christ, there was so much blood that would run from the Temple Mount. In fact, they believe that there were two holes drilled on each side of the altar with a channel. And those holes would go into a drainage system, and that drainage system would empty out into the Brook Kidron between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. And during Passover, the Brook Kidron would literally flow with a mixture of water and blood, such that that water and blood would be sold to gardeners who would use it as fertilizer. But here was Jesus following the Passover, the Brook Kidron still flowing with red with blood, and merchants selling that bloody water to gardeners. Jesus comes to a place that God had ordained that his presence would dwell. I want you to remember. I want you to remember what led up to the Passover celebration in the first place. The Jews were in bondage in the land of Goshen in Egypt, and they were brought out by the hand of God after the plagues, the 10 plagues against Pharaoh. And it was there as they left in preparing for that final plague, the angel of death and the killing of the firstborn in the land, they would slaughter a lamb, they would mark their lintels and doorposts, and they would consume the lamb, and they would leave the land out of Egypt, out of bondage. So the blood of sacrifice began there at the Passover of the Jews. But we know that God, as the Jews who turned out to be a whining, complaining, grumbling, sinful people, were blessed with being called to be the chosen people of God, where God's presence would dwell in the tabernacle, a tabernacle that was designed not by man, but by God himself, and Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai. The pattern, the priesthood, the pattern of worship would all be prescribed by God, and the sacrifices would be also ordered in the same way that the Passover was done. Blood became a part, very much a part of the covenant. But Jesus knew, even at 12 years old, Jesus was beginning to understand his call. And let me be clear also, when Scripture tells us that he grew in wisdom and in stature, we have to understand that in his divinity, in his divine nature, there was never any diminishment at all. Rather, Christ, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, humbled himself in leaving the throne of heaven to become a child, to become a baby at the Nativity, to become a child then of 12 years of age, who was standing in a temple, beginning to recognize his call to yet humble himself further, to humble himself even unto death. I want to remind you what St. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, in his humility, began to apprehend and take hold of his call, that there at the place of meeting that God had established, the God who is wholly transcendent and outside of time and space, and yet who chose to walk with Adam in the cool of the day before the fall, was the same God who continued to pursue humanity, to reconcile and to redeem them and deliver them, even in the midst of their grumbling and complaining and sinfulness. God continued to pursue. And Jesus took, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, took up that mantle. And instead of being the visible Shekinah glory of God in the tabernacle or in the temple of Herod there at the Temple of Mount, he would be the boy child, the 12-year-old boy, standing in the midst of the doctors, those very men, some of whom would condemn him to death one day. And there Jesus was in the temple about his Father's business. I want to remind you also what St. Paul writes in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, beginning in the 11th verse. He writes, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The child Jesus, finding Jesus exactly where he was to be, to usher in a new covenant, even as his death lay years away. There was an apprehension, more than just a symbol, of what was to come. Jesus is the great high priest, is one who is to be found in the temple. Not the temple created by Herod, but the temple of God within each and every one of us who has received the gift of salvation through baptism, who has received the seal, the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we think that Jesus is lost, he is to be found in the very confines of our own heart and of our own soul. Seeking and finding Jesus begins with looking at one another, with interacting and loving one another who holds the glorious presence of God within the temple of their own hearts. Let us give thanks for this joyful mystery. For it is no longer the blood of bulls and goats that flows from the Temple Mount, but it is the blood of Christ from Mount Calvary that continues to flow across the ages into the chalices of every altar, which we receive by grace. The redemption of God in His Christ and in Christ through His once for all sacrifice. Let us continue to always find Jesus in the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.